You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
Well, it's good to see everybody again today. I'm very emotionally stirred, to which you will participate in through this message. But what I want to talk with you today about is creative power. Creative power. I'm going to start with a story. You know, I recently had something very strange happen in my life. About a year ago, Cheryl and I were looking at relocating to Great Falls for a job opportunity. And we were pretty excited about it until I left Helena. As we're going to Great Falls, and let me just preface with this, is I'm not a very emotional guy. I'm very steady and stable, almost to a fault sometimes, but I'll take that, you know, because that's what God gave me. But we were going to Great Falls, and man, I started crying. I almost had to pull over and throw up repeatedly. I was sick. I mean, just sick. And I felt like I was losing my mind, and I couldn't understand why, because that's not me. You know, my emotions do not do that to me. But it did that all the way to Great Falls and then all the way home. And I felt like I was losing my mind, and I didn't understand why. It made no sense to me at all. But, you know, I didn't understand, so I got back, and it kind of, you know, tapered off, and I thought everything was okay. It didn't make any sense because God's been speaking to me about us relocating for over 2 years. In my prayer time, He would show me us moving. And so it made no sense. I'm like, God, this is obviously your plan for us. Why am I getting sick whenever I start looking at it? What, something's wrong? Something's not right. And so, you know, like I said, things kind of died away. But about, I guess, I don't know, several months ago, we felt like the Lord was saying, now, you need to relocate now, just a few months back. And I said, okay. And I started praying about it, and someone came up and gave me a prophetic word during that time. And the word was, God has released you, you have to release yourself. And I said, this definitely appears to tie with this relocation, but I just didn't understand how. So we started looking at moving again. As soon as we started looking at moving again, I started getting sick again, started getting queasy again, started getting nauseous. I was like, what is going on here? I know this is your plan. Why is my body not cooperating? What's wrong here? Why are my emotions acting just crazy? And I really pray. I said, God, what is going on here? And the Holy Spirit reminded me of a vow that I had made 25 years ago. I had made a vow, and before I tell you what it was, I was in the military from the late 80s through the early to mid 90s, and I was deployed, and I'd come home. And we had a small son, just me and Cheryl and a small son at that time. And I was only home a few months, and our small son got sick and died. And I regretted missing out on his life while I was deployed. And I mean, it was terrible. It was a terrible season, terrible time for us. Without God, we would not have made it. But with that in mind, I made a vow. I said, Lord, I will never leave my family again. And the Lord showed me that is what was making me sick. I had made a vow that bound my life to always be with my family. And while God's call on my life was to move and relocate, my family was here and I had to leave them. And so the vow was what was causing the problem. And, you know, it made perfect sense at that point. And I want to say here, you know, church, the biggest struggle you'll ever have is in here. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And I'm going to tell you, truthfully, the principalities and powers, we don't really wrestle with them either. I know the scripture says we do, but where we wrestle with them at is in here. Nothing outside can make you do anything. Angel, demon, anything. Nothing outside can make you do something. You have to choose to do it. So whenever you take a vow, you make an oath, you promise something, you are binding your life to that. And God honors that. God takes vows and commitments seriously, doesn't he? You know, when you vowed to be part of God's family and trusted Christ, you received eternal life. That's how significant a vow is. God doesn't break vows. And I'm going to tell you something, we can't either. Unless we get to a place where the vow is no longer fulfillable, and then we have to make a change. And my vow was preventing me from following God. See, back when I made the vow, it was just me and Cheryl. Our son had passed away. It was kind of seemingly somewhat easy to honor not leaving my family when it was two of us. Now I have four adult children and three grandchildren. It's not possible to honor that commitment, is it? It's not possible. Because one of them moves away and I'm not with them. And once again, there's a struggle. We move away. You know, it's just the dynamic changes. So just know this. When the Bible says you don't even know what tomorrow brings, it's right. That's why the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no, no, because anything beyond that leads to sin. So just let your yes be yes and your no, no. So let's keep going. It's quiet in here. Apparently I have your attention. I like that. So stay with me with this one. Immediately, once I saw what it was and I saw how it was hindering me, I broke it. I asked God to release me, which he had already spoken prophetically, that he had already released me, but I had released myself. But I said, God, please release me from that, and I thank you for that. But God, I release myself in Jesus' name. And I felt almost like just a weight melted off of me. And all of a sudden, I felt the joy of the Lord rising up in the move. See, when you make a vow, what you've done is you've drawn a line. You've drawn a line in your life and said, God, this area is mine. You can't go here. And what you've done is you've drawn a line, and the Holy Spirit will not go there with you. He cannot, because you made a vow. You made something that is contingent upon you taking care of it in your control. That's why God says don't make vows. He tells you plainly, don't do it. You know, there are good vows, you know, like a marriage covenant vow, a vow to the Lord. You know, there are good vows, but you got to be really careful with that. That's why he says just let your yes be yes. That's good enough. You know, because if you're a person of integrity, that is a commitment. But I want to look at something here. It says in Psalm 66, 13 and 14, I shall pay you my vows which my lips have uttered and my mouth spoke as a promise when I was in distress. How many times, and please don't raise your hand because I believe every hand would come up. Please. Whenever we're in a tough spot, what comes out of this? God, if you'll only, I will. God, please, I will never, or I will always. Anything you say that has never and always, you better be careful. Because guess what? There's always bacon attached to that. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to cause some flesh. Somewhere along that path, it's going to cause some flesh. And see, I did that with grace and kindness. I didn't go into a weird spot with that one. I am accountable for my gestures up here. that's funny. So, but you know, the thing is you know, when we speak, life comes out. Creative power is released. There are no idle words. I'm just going to tell you, idle words, God says you'll give an account for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. In other words, everything that comes out of your mouth releases creative power. Everything. And that's humbling and scary. But I also want you to know that it's good if you get it. If you understand it, it's good because it gives you a key. It gives you something really important. Now, so just please be careful in times of intense emotion, times of fear, times when something bad's happening. Be careful that you don't make commitments and vows and take these promises and these things and just sling them into the air, because I'm going to tell you, that's really what God, the Bible's talking about. I know people use this in spiritual warfare, but that is the least of the application of binding and loosing. Binding and loosing has about that much use in the spiritual warfare realm, but the church has made it that big. Binding and loosing speaks of covenant commitment. Covenant commitment. In other words, whatever you bind yourself to on this earth, whatever you give your word in, whatever oath, whatever vow you take, God honors in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, God looses. That's just like when I broke that vow over my own life, God loosed me and set me free to follow Him. So understand that you bind and loose yourself primarily in this life with your commitments, your word, and your covenant agreements. Yeah, it applies. You can do it with the spirit realm occasionally, but that is the minimal use of that, and the church has made it the biggest use. Our binding oaths and promises and commitments is the main reason for that scripture. So let's keep rolling here. Now, when we speak, creative power is released. Why is that? Why is that? Because the Bible says in Genesis, it says we were created in His image to look like Him and His likeness to act like Him. God created us to be like Him. And what is the first thing He did in Genesis 1? God said, and exactly specifically what He said happened, didn't it? So guess what? We don't just look like Him, we act like Him. And when we speak, things happen like Him. So there's creative powers released. Every time you move this tongue and speak forth, something comes into existence that was not there. And it's going to affect your life. It will. So, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. See, this is that creative power of God. Death and life. That's what comes out when we open our mouth. But I want you to see here that while this is a sobering, in other words, it's something you're like, oh, whoa, uh-oh. And I know there's people out here probably going, uh-oh, you know, thinking about some of the things that have come out of your mouth. But I also want you to see there's a real secret plus in this too. It said, those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit. If you start speaking life and speaking the creative power and plans of God, that's what you're going to have. So this is kind of a neat, God-given creative power that we can use every day. This isn't something you have to wonder if it's going to happen. When you speak good things, guess what? Eventually your life is going to start having good things. You start speaking the destiny and plans of God over your life, and guess what? Eventually you're going to see them. You're going to taste them. You're going to be, like it says, you're going to eat its fruit. You speak it, and eventually you're going to eat it. And that's good or bad. But this to me is exciting because years ago I started sowing positive things, speaking life. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to speak anything negative into any one of your lives. I will not do it. Because guess what? That's wrong. If somebody's speaking negative things into your life, they're speaking against the plans of God. Just know that. Tell them, say, nope. You know, like, don't really talk to the hand. But just, no, tell them, say, no, that's not God's best. You need to just hush and don't speak that trash over me because that is not God's best. And, you know, a lot of people say, I'm speaking the truth in love. No, you're not. There are times that you have to have hard conversations. There are times. But even those have to be governed by love. They have to be governed by destiny, by future, by God's plans. If they're not totally seasoned with the love and the plans of God, it's nothing but nasty. There's no way to polish it up. It's nasty if it's nothing but negative. So somebody can say, put it in whatever type of package they want. If it's nasty, it's nasty. You know, if it's good, it can be a little hard, but it's going to be full of love and grace. So I want to tie into a little more with this. This is the principle. There's an economy of God, and I think this is kind of neat. It kind of piggybacks on the end of the series here, a little different angle. But there's a kingdom economy that Christians operate in or should operate in. When you became a Christian, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You are recreated into a new being. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that shifted you from just a hope for the best world economy, which is fluctuated depending on whoever's doing what, into a kingdom economy which is constant and stable and never changes. And so, Christians, that's where you are. Just accept it and operate in it and receive the benefits. And it's called sowing and reaping. That's where the part of that economy I'm getting into now is sowing and reaping. What you plant, you will reap. Let's read this. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will they also reap. You plant corn, what do you reap, church? Okay. See, you guys are really sharp. If you got that, you've got this. Don't overthink it. What you speak is what you're going to get. What you sow into is what you're going to get. And I'm going to go here because I feel like the Lord wants me to. Cheryl and I just adjusted our retirement plan, which is basically non-existent at this point. I wish it was much bigger. But we're shifting right now. We're transitioning into the next leg of our race in our life. And we talked about it and said, well, what do we need to do to sow into the right things for this leg of our life and the future? And I thought about it and I said, well, we need this, and church, this isn't prophetic, okay? I'm just going to tell you what I do. Okay, what if the economy goes to doo-doo? What if it does? Okay, what do you do about that? You give abundantly into the kingdom. You tithe. You give offerings to specific works, and you give alms to the poor. That's what the Bible talks about. You tithe, offering, and alms. And so I said, okay, we'll continue to sow. Of course, we've always tithed, and we'll continue to do that. But we give offerings, and we give alms. We give specific things. And I said, okay, that is our economic collapse funding. That way, no matter what happens, we're going to have money. We'll have money to live, to meet our needs, because God will repay. So it's not contingent on the global economy. It's a kingdom economy. I said, the next thing is, okay, we're launching into the unknown again. be the third time. And I was like, okay, Lord, we really don't know where we're going. We don't have jobs. We don't know anybody. But we're going to go because you said go. We're excited about it. So we need to find somebody who's doing that and sow into their life. So we found an individual who is traveling and totally relying on God to meet all their needs. And so we started sowing into them every month because by sowing into them, launching into the unknown continually, God will sow into us, launching into the unknown. You with me? Corn equals corn. Okay, so God's going to take care of our needs because we're sowing into people who are totally dependent on Him too. And I said, okay, we've got a lot of our families expanding. We got kids and grandkids. We want God to meet their needs. So we picked a children's ministry and started sowing into meeting the needs of those kids. And God will sow into our children because we're sowing into His children. You with me? Be specific with your seed. I'm telling you, if you want a return, you got to sow specifically. Yeah, you can just sow generally and God will meet your needs wherever you need it. But for me, I'm 50 years old. I'm ready to get more specific. I'm just going to tell you. You know, your call gets funneled over time. Starting out, you just do whatever and kind of try to find God in it. For Cheryl and I, we know exactly what we need to do now. There are things we have no business touching because we'll mess it up. Other people need to do that. But there are things that we know we have an anointing and a grace on our life for, and that is what we put our hands on, and that's what we do. See, that's time. With experience becomes that funnel thing, and you get more focused, and then you know where God has you. And when you know where God has you, continually sow into productivity in those areas, into other people's lives, and then your way will continue to amplify and get bigger and more effective, and you'll produce more and more and more fruit. You know, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And as you know, when you know where God's got you, so generally, but so specifically as well, okay? And so our retirement plan involves those things because that's where God's got us, and that's where we want to go, and that's the needs we know that we have. And yeah, we give generally too. Because, you know, maybe something we're missing because I'm not that intelligent, you know. God, in case I'm missing something, I'm just going to throw some seed out there for you and just give it back where I need it. But also specific nature. You sow specifically, you reap specifically. And one thing I want to say with that is One thing about the church, the reason they don't really get into this sowing and reaping thing is because it really isn't American. I'm just going to tell you. You know, if I come out here, and I'm just using money for an example here. If I just come out here, and it can be anything, any kind of seed. I've sown barbecue grills. I've sown all kind of things into people before. I mean, vehicles. We've given cars. We've given all kind of stuff to people. And the thing is, but I'll just use this because I can't throw a car around and give you a demonstration right now. But the thing is what I found is whenever you're sowing, you throw it down. If you're in America, you throw it down and you're, where's my freaking harvest? Come on, God, I got 5 minutes. I'm doing this over lunch. Isn't that American? Yeah, you laugh, but how many of you say, yeah, you know, you want it now. And if you do this and it doesn't work, you're like, all right, call the bank. Maybe we can get in with a loan officer today and have it by tomorrow morning. I need that thing before breakfast. But isn't that the way, isn't that American? American is, I need it now, and I will not be happy unless I get it now. And if I have to, I'll wait one more day. My gosh, this is inconvenient. But isn't that the way we are? Everybody's laughing because they're like, yeah, uh-huh. Or old me, or that's my spouse, or something, I don't know. But isn't that the way it is in this country? Instant gratification. And that is not kingdom economics. That is some perverted, twisted, Americanized economic. And all of us play by it, live by it, and have been manipulated and controlled by it to some extent. But that's not kingdom economy. Kingdom economy, sowing and reaping, and if you're taking notes, write this down, is later and greater. That's the kingdom economy. Is when you sow, you will reap it later, and it will be greater than what you sowed. Always. You plant a kernel, you receive an entire stalk. And that's the way, just like the, and I love the fact that the Bible uses farming and planting so much, because that's so, paints a beautiful picture of what our lives are like. You know, all we are is gardeners. You know, trusting God, planting, you know, tending the crops, trusting God, waiting. And boy, when the harvest comes in, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. But it's always going to be later than you plant and greater than you plant. Always. And that's the way it works with the kingdom. And that's why a lot of Christians don't really get into the sowing and reaping and enjoy it, because it's not instant. Let me keep rolling here. This is fun. We could spend a lot more time on sowing and reaping. All right. We have other cool things to get to, like you guys praying for us. That's really cool. And I promise you, we are looking forward to it. I'm not shy about that one, man. You ever want to pray for me, please do. Please do. Don't hold back. Let it all out. So, and there's a couple of things connected with sowing and reaping. Faith. See, this is really the key with sowing and reaping. This is the key. Okay? You're sowing into something that you can't see today. Probably won't see it tomorrow. Yeah, you might. But eventually you will see it. You will. But faith. See, this sums it up. And I put a translation on here that actually does some neat notes. It says, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for. I like it. Divinely guaranteed. That's kingdom economy. God is a loan officer, so to speak. And he's not loaning you anything. He's giving it to you. But you know what I'm saying? He's the banker who's saying, it's yours. So you know God doesn't lie. It says, it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, you're acting like you have something that you ain't got, but you really want it. The conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. And I like the physical senses part. That's very much one of the issues, is we physically want things now. But what faith does, faith says, I trust you, God. God, and you speak, this is what I know you want from me. This is your best, and I will not back off until this is what I see in my world. And it may take time, but I'm telling you, so what if it takes time? Is God's best worth it? Is it? Or is some superficial pacifier, tied me over thing what you want? Do you want to bounce from sippy cup to bottle to passy to bottle all your life? I'm just telling you. I mean, I speak for myself. I struggled with that for years. You know, it's like, no. Oh, I got it. I got it. Oh, I feel better. I feel better. Well, darn. That didn't last very long. And then the next little pursuit, the next little toy, the next little thing, you know. And but when God gives you something, it's really beautiful, and it blesses you for a lifetime. It doesn't matter what it is. His smallest gift is a huge blessing in our lives. So it's worth waiting. It's worth sowing. But once again, I want to say with this in mind is sow expectantly. In other words, expecting God to come through. That's what hope is. I'm going to tell you, hope is expectation. If you took the word hope, which has a little ethereal mean to it, and boiled it down, what it means I'm expecting something from my loving Father. That's what hope means. I have an expectation, and He's good, and He won't let me down. Yeah, that's awesome. Let's go a little farther here. Let's have some fun. And Christians, I want to poke everybody just a little bit here. Because this is something that I've been poked with a lot over the years, so I'm not poking you with something that I haven't received. I want you to know your comfort is not high on God's priority list. I'm just saying it like it is. You know, God doesn't get up every morning wondering how He can make you feel better. He doesn't do it. Your comfort is not high on the food chain. I'm just telling you. No. It says God does everything according to the counsel of His will. There's a will and a plan and a call on your life. And I'm going to tell you what it boils down to. It boils down to you making Jesus look good and helping people. That's what it is. And that is not comfortable a lot of the time. And I'm going to keep going because I really wanted to stay here for a while, but I feel like I'd have probably lost a lot of you. Everybody probably got mad at me. But you know, we are departing today, and I want everybody to have good memories of me. I don't want everybody to remember, that's that guy with the knife. All he did was poke me the whole time. I don't want to hear that. I don't want you to remember me like that. But you know, the truth is, guys, is you know, when you became a Christian, you actually committed to some hard things. You know, you didn't all of a sudden be transferred into the kingdom of light and everything be smooth sailing. You have this red carpet rolled out and all you do is walk around in glory. No. That comes later. Right now, you're a soldier. You're a soldier. You're called to fight. You're not called to kick back and relax and coast off into glory. You're called to fight. You're called to take ground for yourself and for your family and for others. You're called to fight for those who can't. There are people out here who can't really fight. You're called to fight for them. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost a lot. If you're a serious, committed Christian, it's going to cost you everything. You might as well go ahead and tally it up and say everything. That way you don't hold anything back and think something weird's happened when you're uncomfortable. You know, just go ahead and write it down. It's going to cost me everything, every comfort, every plan, everything that I had in my control, it's going to cost me. He who saves his life shall lose it. He who loses their life for my sake shall find it. So what life are you looking for? What life do you need to find? What life are you hanging on to? Is it yours or is it His? If it's His, you're going to find a life better than you've ever imagined. You know, eyes not seen, neither has entered into the heart of man or woman, the plans that God has for those who love them. Let's keep going. I lost my place. I was having too much fun. But let me just hit a couple things right quick with this. Cheryl and I are about to relocate again. This is the third time. I could have done a series on the adventures with God that we've had over the years. But I'm just going to tell you these three moves that God has called us to do. The first one, we moved to North Carolina from South Carolina, not 4.5 hours away, but we didn't know a soul. God said, move. And I love it. He's been like, and I mean this when I say I love this, is there's a lot of faith involved. Because just like Abraham, God said, go to a place I will show you. He didn't say, here it is, now go. So Abraham just said, which way? And I believe the Lord just said, that way. And then he just went. And like the Bible says, a man plans his way, but the Lord orders their steps. And so Abraham's walking, and he stops at one place, and God's like, no. He just keeps. And you know, you can imagine, but that's the same way that this will be the third time God's done that with us. God said, go to North Carolina. Well, he said, go, and we felt North Carolina was good. And then we got there, and nothing worked out, nothing looked good, and we thought we'd missed it. And then all of a sudden, we pulled into this one place, and me and Cheryl looked at each other, and it was like, this is it. Okay, that was 4 hours away. Then we moved to Montana. We had never been to Montana in our lives. Had three small children. Never been here. I just knew that God had said in my heart, go to the Rocky Mountains. That's what he said. He said, go to the Rocky Mountains. He didn't tell us a state. He didn't tell us anything. He said, just go that way. And so we sold everything we owned, had no jobs, had no friends, had no connections here, nothing here. Loaded up everything we owned into a moving truck and just headed towards the Rocky Mountains, waiting to hear from God. Three small babies, no money, basically nothing other than a few dollars that was in our pocket, and didn't know where we were going. Isn't God cool? You ask yourself, what does that cost? What does it cost? You know what it cost? It cost us nothing but faith. People said I was crazy to my face, might I add. Seriously, I had people look at me like, you are a nut. What are you doing to your family? You're destroying your family. You're just doing that. I just looked at him and smiled. I said, yeah, but I know Jesus. I know Jesus. And he said, go. There's some of you here today, I feel the Lord saying, go. I don't know what he's telling you. There's some of you who have been holding back. The Lord's saying, you know what I've told you to do. I believe God is telling that. There's some specific people here. God has said to you, this is what I've called you to do. Go. Quit holding back. So those of you who need to hear that, you've heard it. Now act on it. Act on it. Whatever he's told you, you know what it is. Quit toying with him and playing with him and lose your life and pick up his. Now we're about to leave again to another place. God's telling us, go this way. We're going to go. We have no job. I'm 50 years old. I'm not quite as spry as I was a few years ago. My wife is just, she's in her late 20s now, and she's doing good. I don't know how that fits with 32 years of marriage, but she can sort that one out. But the truth is, God said, go, we're going again. And guess what? We're excited about it. We're happy about it because that's what we do, Christians. We don't pursue comfort. We pursue Jesus. We have an eternity to rest in God, an eternity to reap the benefits. We have maybe 100 years here. Pour it out. Give it all. Don't hold back. Please don't hold back. Be about the Father's business. Don't be about your own. Okay. I'm going to get into one other area here, and then we're going to close out. These principles of speaking forth life, the sowing and reaping, and then one day that becoming real to you applies to your family and friends also. Parents, grandparents, be careful what you speak into your family. Be careful. I'm going to share one other thing and then I want to talk about this some. Years ago, whenever we were in North Carolina, It didn't matter what I was doing. I felt like I was stuck in the mud. I felt like I was spinning my wheels. I would labor and accomplish very little. And I was like, what is going on? And I was praying, and the Lord reminded me, the Holy Spirit said, remember that word your grandfather spoke over you? My grandfather spoke over me that I would never amount to anything. He spoke that a lot. And he had been dead for 15 years at that point. And it seemed like no matter what I did, I was stuck in the mud and laboring and couldn't do anything. And guess what? That word had bound me up. And then I broke that word, and immediately, once again, I broke it. Within just a short period of days, I felt free. There was just this almost like I could breathe again. And then the productivity just went through the roof. And I really wanted to hit that. Let me talk about this right quick, and then I'm going to get to that next scripture. It says, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he or they say, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Where do you want your life to go? What's coming out of your mouth? Is your mouth directing your life to the desired place? Or is your mouth speaking against your destiny? Is it speaking against God's best? What are you saying? What you're saying is steering your life. And I'm going to tell you, what you're saying is also steering your children's lives. What you're saying is steering your wife, steering your husband. What are you saying? Are you speaking into God's best? You know, and I just be real with you guys. And men, if you get convicted, good. I'm going to say good. Not a day goes by that I don't speak to the beauty of my wife. Not a day goes by that I don't speak to the call on her life. Not one day goes by, and I would say over 20 years at least. Every day I speak into the God's best. I speak into his plans. I speak into her beauty. You know the thing is why? I love my wife. I want God's best. Men, what are you speaking into with your wives? Are you speaking into her beauty? Are you speaking into God's call and plans? When she freaks out, do you hold your tongue and pray for her? Do you help her? Or do you pick her apart? You know, what do you do? What do you do? That's why I have a great marriage, because the fact is she's a treasure from God. Men, your wife is a treasure from God. You are incomplete without her. So don't act like you can do it on your own. And I'm going to tell you, everything you invest in her is going to help both of you. Women, the same thing. Do you speak in his manhood? Do you speak into that? Do you speak into God's call? Do you reinforce the things God's put in his heart? Or do you whittle away at him? You know, what are you doing? What are you doing? What do you want? Do you want to struggle or do you want to walk in victory? Do you want your marriage to flourish and things to be wonderful? Let's look at our kids right quick here. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And where it says he, of course, it speaks of he or she. It says, teaching them to seek God's wisdom and will for their abilities and talents. And it says, even when they're old, they will not depart from it. I love the fact that that's in there, because a lot of times you'll invest, and there's this season to where things look like they're going crazy, and you're like, nothing is coming back. And then God says, but wait a minute, eventually it'll come around. Isn't that good? Isn't it good God put that? But let me just say this in regard to, see, with my granddad, he spoke his goals into my life. His plans, you know, the things, his dreams. Parents, you can't finish your dreams through your kids. You can't manipulate and control your kids to somehow or another meet your destiny. So don't try. Because the Bible says you'll exasperate your child in Ephesians. It says you will make them angry because you'll frustrate the plans of God in their life. So, train up your child in the way they should go. How do you do that? You pray a lot. God, what's the call on their life? Whenever God tells you something, write it down. What do you see coming out of your kids? Think about it. How do they act around other kids? Whenever somebody's hurt, how do they respond? When somebody has a need, how do they respond? When you have company over, are they hospitable? What gifts are in them? There's stuff there. Identify it. Pray and ask God. There's good things in your kids. We're formed in the womb, it says in Ephesians. The Holy Spirit orchestrated all that stuff and put in what was needed. And that's, guess what? While they're out there crawling around and toddling around and start doing stuff, you'll see it if you're looking. But you got to pull off your little filters of my plans. They got to go to this college. They got to have this job. You ain't going to see nothing, because guess what? That's another line. You've drawn a line, and God cannot take you into the other side of that spot where your kid's destiny is, because you're stuck in your side here, and your kid has to come to you. But identify what God wants for them. Speak to that. If you see mercy on them, start helping them with that. Coach them. You know, as they get a little older, coach them. Say, you know, people can take advantage of that. You know, but it's a God-given thing, and it's a good thing. And here's how to use that in a healthy way. Reinforce where God's at in your kids and in your family and in your wife. Speak to that. Pray for that. I have one last thing. I would love to spend a lot more time on this family thing, because this excites me. This has been one of the joys of my life for the last many years, is to find where God's at in each member of my family and pour into that, and pour into their call, and pour into their gifts. That excites me, because I'm going to tell you can have all the toys and cool stuff in the world, and you will not be as satisfied as seeing one family member succeed, as seeing one of your children flourish in just one gift or one thing from God. That'll do more for your spirit than anything you can ever get in the natural. So find out where God's at, and don't let go until you see them serving the Lord in that. All right. Now, and I'm going to close out with this scripture. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, this is Jesus, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent assault, and violent men seize it by force. While the scripture appears to read one thing, if you do research, I like the note here, as a precious prize. What it talks about is you're not going to casually, comfortably walk into everything God has. You're going to have to fight for it. I'm going to tell you something. There are members in your family, if you don't fight for them, they will not be all God called them to be. And am I dumping a load on you? Yeah, I am. Yeah, take it. Take it, enjoy it, make the most of it, and see God use it. Please don't see this as being arrogant or something, but I'm telling you this because you need to hear it. I fight for my family in prayer almost every day. I pray every day for them, but I fight for their destinies. You know why? I'm a father. I have the right. I have the responsibility before God. If one of my kids don't succeed and I didn't pray enough for them and I didn't care enough, when I get to heaven and God says, hey, you dropped the ball, how many of you want to hear that? How many of you want to hear that, you know, that you didn't invest enough into that person God put in your life? You didn't speak into that destiny. You didn't care. You're too busy over here chasing something else. Pray for your family. Fight for them. Speak to their calls. If you hear a prophetic word over your family, remember it, write it down, and constantly speak into that. It's not that every time you get together you're saying the same old thing, you're a broken record. That's not what I mean. But the thing is, speak to that. Speak to the success of that. Pray for that. Boy, I want to stay here a lot longer, but I got to quit. I really do. But if you see this the right way, it's a joy. It's a joy to partner with the Holy Spirit in your own success and in the success of those around you. Take it seriously. Enjoy it. Use the creative power God gave you and speak life into everything and everybody you can. And guess what? As the kingdom flourishes in you, because the kingdom of God is in people, it's not a project, a program, or a building. The kingdom of God is in each person. So it's not some abstract thing out here. Take responsibility for the kingdom of God expanding in your life. And then you can help somebody else for the kingdom to expand in their life. And before long, guess what? We've changed the world. Okay. These are good days, church. Thank you for letting me speak. This is a pleasure. It's been a blessing. We'll be back to see everybody, but church, be about the Father's business. Thank you.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.